comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. We have a couple of things that are pretty important that you need to know about. First of all, this is K-Files Night. K-Files E-Zine, of course, is the name for our free weekly newsletter. We send it out in email each week, absolutely free, no strings attached, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Now, this particular edition has some particularly eye-popping articles in it. So if you're not subscribed, you want to be sure that you get subscribed. If you rely, if you think, okay, well, look, I listen to the show every night, and so, you know, I already know everything that's going on with the Kevin Smith Show, and I know all the stuff that he talks about, and so, you know, I don't need the K-Files E-Zine. Well, look, I can't talk about everything that's important. We just don't have time. And, you know, you're missing probably anywhere from 40 to 60%. Depends on the week, more information by not subscribing to the K-Files E-Zine. And it's free, so just click on the button. It's at kevinsmithshow.com. Subscribe, and then you will be out of the dark, into the light, no longer a mushroom. I'll be in the chat room on Saturday evening, tomorrow evening, November the 7th. And I hope you will join me there. If you are a member and if you're part of our members area, then just go to the chat room at this time. Look at your clock, whatever time it is right now in your time zone. That's the time to go to the chat room, okay? Most of you are already aware of it. Some of you are not. But my book, it's an e-book called Mars Maximum Mystery, is now available. It contains some photographs that I'm betting you haven't seen. And even if you have seen all of these photographs, there are some that I'm betting you saw it and it just went in one eye and out the other. And, you know, it just didn't register as to how tremendously important that photograph is. And so you want to get your hands on it. It's an e-book. It's a very fast read, lots of pictures, and with analysis along with the pictures, and explaining where did this come from and what does this mean. Anyway, you can get it. It's $9. You get the e-book immediately as a download, and you get also a link that you can click and watch the show that I did based on some of those pictures. Again, it's only $9. And so if you haven't gotten your hands on it, be sure you do, okay? It's called Mars Maximum Mystery. Just go to my website. You'll see the ad for it. And just click the ad. That'll take care of everything. All right, tonight is Open Line Live, and I do mean live. I hope you'll give us a call, and we'll talk about what's on your mind tonight. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight, and we'll talk about anything within our genre that you wish to talk about. We won't be talking about, you know, favorite recipes and how to fix your car. But anything within our genre we'd be more than happy to talk about, all across the United States, all across Canada. It doesn't cost you 1 cent to call, okay? It just is free. And some of you have a calling plan where you can dial our main number and it doesn't cost you anything. Please, if you've got that, use that. 623-444-5889. And if you don't have that, if it would cost you long distance to call us, well, use our toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. First name, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, yes. Oh, boy, I'm back to being the first caller every night again now, boy, that I missed that old top of the mountain spot.
Oh, you know, I can fix that. If it bothers you, you know, I can fix that.
I wouldn't want you to do that there, Kev. Oh, boy. Hey, apparently something coming out of the Dr. Michael Sala with his latest article saying that that disclosure is quote-unquote imminent. I wonder exactly what they're going to be disclosing. Is it going to be the true nature of the UFO phenomena, or are they just going to spread more disinformation?
Well, who's to say they're going to disclose anything? Now, let me tell you, I respect Dr. Michael Sala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
And I think, you know, he's done some great work. And I think, you know, he may be exactly right about this. At the same time, and I think he would understand, I certainly don't think that he would feel this as an attack, because it's not intended that way. But I think he would understand if I say I've heard this same thing several times during my life, that it's imminent, it's going to happen. And maybe it will. And, you know, if it does, that'll be wonderful. But I won't be surprised at all if nothing happens.
And also, here's something that a lot of people don't I've never questioned. I've heard talk about this on Coast to Coast once. Who's to say that disclosure has not been happening all along, but it's been done so in little bit by bit by bit by bit?
You must have heard that here at the number one paranormal talk show, because that's what we've been saying now for several years. I've been saying that, you know, NASA puts these pictures out there. They deny stuff, but they put the pictures out there.
Yeah.
If you ask them on camera or on microphone, tell me about unidentified flying objects, they will say, well, we don't know anything about that. I mean, you know, come on. Let's talk about science. Yeah. You know, that would be their attitude. And yet on their website is a page where, and I've quoted it and I've put it up on the screen, they say that from time to time, astronauts have reported anomalous objects flying in space, and these have been investigated by NASA, and in every case have been deemed to not be abnormal in the space environment. Well, that is saying these are normal in the space environment. So there you have disclosure. We investigated it, and hey, you know what? Those are normal.
Yep. And I'm going to tell you a bit of a story. How I woke somebody up, one of my radio classmates, to the fact that there is some extraterrestrial presence, or at least there was in the solar system. He thought it was a crackpot at the beginning here, and I started talking about aliens and UFOs and all this stuff, and I listened to it, and I get involved in UFO talk shows. And I showed him a picture of Tithonia City on Mars. And something else I was going to mention, I forgot about it. But let's just say he's no longer Oh yeah, I showed him the clip of Buzz Aldrin when he flat out when he was on C-SPAN stated that there was a monolith on Phobos, the moon of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed him that clip on his laptop with on YouTube, and that, he, as I just bulged like, whoa, hello.
No.
And then I showed him Tithonia City, where there's that the rectangular structure. It was a NASA photograph right from NASA website, and he couldn't believe it. I said, well, he tried explaining it as a natural formation. And I said, hey, Davey Love, take a look at these things here. That there is a box. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care where it is. You try to tell me that that building, that thing there, that all those 90-degree angles of the doorway and all that stuff is a natural formation.
Well, see, that's the deal, Kevin. If you show them that photograph and don't tell them where it is, you just show them the photograph and say, this is an aerial photograph. Can you tell me what city this is? They will start guessing. And they will name, I don't know, that looks like Cairo, or that looks like, maybe it looks like Belgrade, or it looks like, that could be Philadelphia. You know, they'll start naming cities because it looks like a city. The instant you take that same photograph, still in their hands, and say, well, friend, that's on Mars. Well, those are natural, geologically formed formations that... You know, if you show it to them and don't tell them it's on Mars, their eyes tell them the truth. It's a city.
Yep. Well, he's a very logical guy, too. Somebody that can use his brain once you actually get it going. Mm-hmm. And, he finally realized that, that is an artificial structure. You know, and no matter where it is, that is an artificial structure. And then there was also the one picture of, I think it was on the moon of Titan, and it was one that was brought up on the show also. That, the one that you said you showed it to somebody, it looked like you showed it to one of your airport buddies and said, what does that look like? You tell them, well, that looks like an airport. And you tell them, well, what if I told you it was here? And you said that, I don't care where it is. An airport's an airport.
That's what he said, something to that effect. Hey, you really want to convert this guy?
I did.
I mean, you want to cement this for him? Make him an absolute, absolute convertee.
Get him to listen to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, that's the first step. But get my book, Mars Maximum Mystery, and put it in his hands. Let him read it. When he's finished reading it, he will be absolutely converted and probably an active participant in getting the news out. With NASA's own photographs, I will show you that their own photographs absolutely blow away what they tell you about Mars. Their own photographs prove, and their own scientist statements prove, that what they've been saying is not true. Kevin, I got to run along. Thanks for the call.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. 623-444-5889. That's the number. Now, look. I started to say this, and then I answered the phone before I got it said, so let me say it now before we take this next call. The music that played during that break is obviously much, much harder music than I normally play. I like rock music, but that's much harder. And that's in response to an email I got from Tommy in New York, and I think it's Tommy, T-O-M-I-E. How would you say that, Tommy? Tommy? And I don't know if that's a guy or a girl. Anyway, it said the email said, look, you know, you play all this independent artist's music, but I've heard you play country music, classical music, Latin music, rock music, but I've never heard you play rage music. How about some rage music? Well, I don't really have any rage music, so that was as close as I could get. Tommy or Tommy, I hope you enjoyed it. It was for you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hi, Rex.
Hey, just thought I'd talk about, I saw the movie Fourth Kind.
Oh, good. I wanted to get into that tonight. You've seen that, huh?
Yeah, I just saw it a little while ago.
Okay, now before you tell us about it, Let me do just 60 seconds on something here having to do with Fourth Kind. Then I want you to tell us, okay? You'll see why. I have two reviews here on the Fourth Kind. One of these is Seattle, and the other one is from Los Angeles. The one from Los Angeles says... basically, it was a crash and burn. Wasn't any good. The one from Seattle was longer. The one from Los Angeles was 1, 2, 3 paragraphs long. The one from Seattle is 2 pages long. And it ends by saying this. Whether or not people buy into the theory pitched by the Fourth Kind is going to vary from person to person. But either way, it is rare that a movie, particularly a horror movie, can really surprise and intrigue me as much as The Fourth Kind did. So I have a rave review, and I've got one that says, flush it. It's no good. Now I want to hear from you. What do you think about it?
I liked it. I thought it was well done. They did a neat mixture of actors and archival footage.
Mm-hmm.
They have some interesting footage. It's got to be some of the better physical evidence in abductions. They had cameras rolling during an abduction. They had a lot of video of hypnosis sessions. They had a tape recorder going during an abduction. So it's got some pretty interesting physical evidence. The case struck me as probably legit, you know, as far as I can know without investigating on my own. But what I thought was interesting was I don't think these abductions are the typical ones that most of the world is experiencing. I think these are kind of a meaner variety, a mm-hmm. different group of aliens probably. These aliens speak Sumerian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they caught that on the recording.
Well, then, now you said they caught an abduction on camera. Do you actually see an alien?
No, the camera equipment kept failing at the most opportune moments, but they had a camera rolling from out in front of the house, and you hear the audio of the cop that's there at the house, and the video fades out during a short time. I mean, it looks like it's being interfered with,
mm-hmm.
but you hear him still. I mean, he's quite shaken up about it, and he's describing the light and the people being lifted out of the house. I mean, he gets a bird's eye view, and there's video of the people under hypnosis, and some unusual things happen there too. And the video shows some interesting things, and then sometimes it fades out. So we just assume hopefully they're telling us the truth from the eyewitnesses. But it's still enough to be interesting. I mean, it should pique people's interest if they have any.
Well, what do you think now? Since they speak Sumerian, do you think these are the Anunnaki?
It makes you wonder. That's why I think it's a different group. The people in hypnosis definitely knew it was aliens. Nobody gave a good description, so you never do see the aliens, but they're incredibly terrified. That's where the horror aspect comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say I think it's a different group of aliens that are meaner, because from what I can tell from people I've talked to, I think all abductions are scary, but I think this is like a level above the mm-hmm. average one. I mean, these people were really, really terrified and stuff, and it showed. So, yeah, I think it might be some ancient group like that founded the planet, or was involved with us early on.
All right, I want to read this review that comes from Seattle. I want to read something from it. It says Dr. Tyler, and folks, that's the name of the psychiatrist that's a real person. The Fourth Kind is based on real cases that Dr. Tyler was involved in. She is a psychologist or psychiatrist?
I think psychiatrist.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, it says Dr. Tyler is pale, bony, and obviously still very scared by her experience, which she claims was an encounter with a non-human life form. Did you get that same impression that she was still pretty terrified by it?
Yeah, absolutely. It obviously changed her life, and she doesn't look well. It made reference that she's been bedridden the last few years.
Did she see these entities?
Yeah, although it seems like these entities were able to block people's memories better than the traditional cases,
mm-hmm.
because she was able to recall being on a ship and maybe a little bit of the experimentation, but she never, at least they didn't show in the movie, she didn't actually directly see them.
Mm-hmm.
She knew they were alien, and that's what all the other people said under hypnosis, but nobody actually saw them.
Hmm. That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but I thought it was well done. I mean, the only thing that I thought was odd was, for being the first real commercial movie lately to talk about abductions, I think these cases are very atypical compared to most people's experience. I thought it was odd that they chose that for the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to give people a little bit of a distorted view. But if it raises awareness, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll say this, and you may disagree with this, but let me throw it into the mix. I don't care if they have the best of intentions and they're just really wonderful beings from some other planet. If they take me out of my house at night against my will, that qualifies in every sense of the word as a crime, from my point of view. Obviously not from their point of view, but my point of view is the only one I'm concerned about when I'm being taken against my will. And so I would think that any alien abduction, regardless of what group gets you, I would think would not just be terrifying, but I would think the natural reaction would be, this is a crime against me.
Yeah, I agree. I think being taken against your will would make me suspect of any group's motives,
mm-hmm.
and the way people are treated, the no anesthesia and the lack of any real respect for us, treating us like animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that I find awful, but I say that these people are an even level, or these aliens are even worse because they abduct some of the people permanently. They had a lot of disappearances in Nome, including somebody close to the Dr. Abigail.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's why I thought they were even worse, because they pretty much did that to her in retaliation for her study, it sounded like.
Hey, listen, a break's taking over. Thanks for the call. So you give this movie a thumbs up, huh?
Yes.
Outstanding. Thanks for the call. We'll be back, folks. Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing from anybody else that has seen this movie, The Fourth Kind, because it is already, as you see from these reviews that I've referred to, it's already controversial. That's a good thing. Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, it's Ryan Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, you know that show the other night with Jerry Willis? I don't know if you can put the photo of that, those drawings back up there.
What do you think
about the possibility? Do you think that could be a diagram of the Earth and the Moon? Do you think that's a possibility?
No, it doesn't fit. Because it was not just one smaller circle, it was two. One on each side of it. You had a big circle in the center, and then you had a smaller circle to the left, and another one that was harder to see, but it was over at the right.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah. Anyway, just thought that crossed my mind. I just thought, you know, I've been hearing a lot of word that some of these movies, like The Fourth Kind, I wonder if there's a possibility that some of these are funded by somebody on the know, maybe.
There's always that possibility.
A little bit.
Always that possibility. And look, if you were producing a movie, you could be funded entirely by the CIA and never know it. It's entirely possible They give some money to some guys who are going to be investors, and they come and invest in your movie, and you never know where the money came from. That's entirely possible. It could be CIA, NSA, DIA, any of the alphabets, or all of them. So, it's possible.
Yeah, there's another movie called Avatar, which is it's kind of a science fiction type movie, but it's more of an animated movie, and they're advertising it like crazy. World Series commercial breaks, and it's all about going to another planet, and it's all about aliens and stuff, but it's a little bit more out there. And then you got that 2012 movie with, plus you got Richard Hoagland's 2012. It's going to be on here in a couple of days, or I don't know when it's going to be. But so anyway, I saw it give you a ring, and that show Jerry Will is pretty interesting. That diagram there, and the people that called him.
You know the email that he got, and then it was followed by a phone call. He sent me he forwarded that email to me, and I've read it, and I'm telling you. When you read it, it's hard to even think of any meaning other than this person has seen a wormhole. The way it's worded, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I'd like to hear what everybody else in the audience thinks of it. What do they think of it? Maybe if they missed the show. But I'll see you on Saturday in the chat, I suppose, and I hope to chat with everybody else in there, and I'll
All right.
Have a good weekend, though.
Super. See you in the chat room. 623-444-5889 or 888, the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, the telephone number will work, 623-444-5889. You can call that number from anywhere in the world. It will work, okay? But if you don't wish to make a long distance, well then, if you don't wish to make an international long distance call, you can send me a flash message so long as you're not in the USA or Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, we've got phone numbers and it doesn't even cost you anything to give me a call. So if you're outside of the USA or Canada, send me a flash message. Just go to my website and you'll find a link. Just scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message. Click on that. Put your comments or questions there, and it'll flash on my screen over here when I receive it. Okay. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going over there tonight? How's the weather out there? Is it changing in Phoenix?
It's absolutely superb here today. Not hot, not cold, absolutely perfect.
There's some people up north right now that are going to be drooling over that statement, Kevin.
Well, I understand. It's the time of year when we start to get people from the north that come in here, and they are ingloriously referred to by the locals as snowbirds.
Oh, boy. Well, I was just kind of casually listening along because it's getting darker a little bit earlier, it seems like, and, you know, it's winding down to the winter, and this is one of those hot chocolate shows where you kind of just turn it on and you feel like you're back at home again, connected to the Phoenix area. There was four topics I was just kind of randomly bouncing around in my head as we were going through this that I found of interest. So I'll name the topics, and then you tell me which ones interest you that you might want to comment on.
Okay.
They're pretty interesting. One of them was just the fact that the with those pictures of the possible old trees on Mars, it makes me think that there's probably life there that survived for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and all that's left are these things that were able to grow maybe possibly massively or strong or after all these years, it starts to make me think, yeah, no life over there. Well, yeah, but this is kind of reminding me of the Native Americans when we came over from, from Britain and the other places and France and all those places, and we just totally wiped it out and turned it into what we know as society. And it seems to me that I have absolutely no doubt in my mind, no matter what anybody says, with the rovers going around. I saw this thing on the Mars rovers where they were showing all this stuff and how they have to get up the hill and this, and I'm thinking to myself, I have no doubt that there's something there.
Now, are you talking about you're talking about a picture of trees? You're talking about the pictures that I have in my book?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, you have a lot of photographic evidence of different types. It's not just what you showed on the show that night, but mm-hmm. it makes me think that we're setting it up for basically to go obliterate what's left. You know, we're stronger, you know, we're on the cavalry horses, we're coming in, and they're going to tell us whatever they want until we get there, it's all contained, and then they might let us come around. Probably not. That was one of the topics. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that what kind of life could we be destroying, even if it's not really intelligent? Perhaps the planet's been used and come and went, but there's probably some things there, and it seems to me like, you know, we have so many liberals that are going to defend, and this is not politics, we have liberals that will defend a little tiny fish in the water and cut off, like, you know, the, and I'm down for animal conservation at a lot of cost. But can you, one second.
What? Yeah, I'm in 100 countries.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I had to tell them I'm in 100 countries. I was going to say, back on, which
okay, your first topic was trees. What's your second topic?
Okay, the second topic was the narcissism in movies today. I honestly am totally disgusted with Hollywood because it really preys on the dumbest of people. And it does, because you have to keep these people with ADD and narcissistic tendencies interested. If you turn on the news, it's all death, 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 and there are times when it should be like that. But if you notice, some radio stations on AM, not us, but I'm saying we'll go on about, like, let's say a rape case for, like, years, you know, and you start thinking to yourself, how narcissistic is this? Every time you get in the car, it's going on, and they'll go on for days and days, and they'll ignore other topics. And I look at some of the movies as they really try to play on the fear. And I looked at 2012, and I said, oh, my God, there is just stuff flying everywhere. Now, I can understand how it could be fun for some people, and it doesn't have to be narcissistic, really. But it made me think, because people came up to me with these blank-stared eyes like deer caught in headlights, and they look at me and go, well, you know the paranormal, what do you think's going to happen? And I start thinking to myself, God, this movie is, like, perfect for the people that want to just, like, learn about 2012, be afraid of it, and have an exciting time. But for me, it's just, I don't know, it just seems to me like there's a lot of narcissistic and stuff. And so I am actually going to go see the Fourth Kind movie. I want to see it this weekend. I want to read your book. And the other two, I'll start with one last topic. The okay. Adam Mansky one, we can get into that another day. The other one was, you guys were talking about abductions, and I started thinking about when you're really outside in the dark, and there's trees and different things, and there's no one around, and there's nobody around you even if you were to scream. That's when the fear starts kicking in if there's something weird and paranormal going on around you the most. If you've got family members and lights on and stereo going and you see something above your head and stuff, you're going to be like, whoa. But in abduction, I think there's probably a lot of different abductions, and it sounds to me like, you know, these abductions might have been a little narcissistic, but I think most abductions are. I mean, they're taking people, and so in reality, to me, this movie doesn't go overboard like 2012 the same way, you know, as on a what I would call fictional basis. It's more of a real evidence as opposed to just trying to make something to blow things up, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about the biological changes that happen in someone's brain and how we would compute them when you're being abducted. We have all these different things as far as the people standing up and not knowing what's going on, repressed memory, all these mind control things. And, you know, we're at a point now where we're focusing lasers and studying the brain in different ways, and we're learning that there's probably a fourth dimension where things travel, the astral planes. It's a reality, whether people want to admit it or not. But there's these planes out there that, you know, that obviously these aliens have had a little bit more experience with, and they're playing off of all these different tools and different things. And so when we're walking around, we really are like squirrels with humans sitting up in a tree with a bunch of infrared and different things looking at it, the squirrel can't do anything. So it's a complete animalistic.
I fully agree with you that we are squirrely.
You know?
Yeah, we are.
One thing I was thinking of is what would cause somebody to just blindly keep walking out into the trees, you know, and to be abducted? What would happen physically? Well, for one thing, you know, if you've given somebody morphine in the hospital, you know, they'll start talking about things that they normally wouldn't talk about. They might do some things they normally wouldn't do, and they might completely forget that they're about to have a surgery. I think that if they were in, a lot of us think that it's all like just communicating and tapping in, but if they were able to tap in and physically alter the chemistry of your brain in different areas, and it can go in different ways, it can go reverse as well, as if putting a thought in your head creates a chemical reaction, which then they can use for other things. These guys have to be like mathematicians with the brain and anything that has to do around with it. Well, I look at it as basically they dope people up. And they mm-hmm. confuse the heck out of them. They can swirl your brain around. So when you're outside, you think you see something on your left. You start thinking about something, and then 5-10 minutes later go by, and you're like, "Am I in a trance? Why was I even thinking about that?"
Well, let me give you an example of something, and this is entirely here on Earth. Okay, you go to a live performance where you see Chris Angel. Absolutely a phenomenal illusionist. Absolutely phenomenal. You can sit just a few feet away from him and watch every move he makes and come out of there swearing that this guy vaporized and disappeared right before your eyes and he was only 2 feet away from you. When in fact, that is not what happened. You were treated to an illusion. Your mind knows it's an illusion, but you know he's going to use sleight of hand, but you just don't know how he does it. I think that happens with alien abductions, too. Bob, a break's taking over. I gotta run. Thanks for the call, and I'll address some of those when we come back. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back. This is the Kevin Smith Show, and it is open line live tonight. We will talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about. We have also some flash messages that have come in, and we're going to get to those here momentarily. Let's see. We've got one from the United Kingdom, one from Australia. Bob was talking about several topics. First, let me talk about the trees on Mars. Are there really trees on Mars? Well, I don't know for sure because I haven't been there. But there are pictures. And the pictures show what several scientists have said. By golly, that is trees. Arthur C. Clarke was one of those scientists. Yes, he was a scientist. He was a science fiction writer par excellence. But he was a scientist as well. And when he saw this photograph from Mars, that NASA photograph, that looked like banyan trees, he said, that's it. That's the end of the debate. There's no more debate, no further debate about whether there is life on Mars. Here's a picture of it. Well, there have been all kinds of convoluted explanations for that photograph. And shortly before his death, Dr. Tom Van Flandern, another scientist, an astronomer, was giving a seminar, and he put that picture up and talked about it, and he said, you know, there's a funny little thing that happens with these banyan trees that they say are natural geological formations. In the summertime, they turn green. Well, there you go. There's also a photograph in my book of a pine forest. Really? What's the deal with trees and life on Mars? Is there life there? If you're asking me, I will say yes. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think the evidence is in. So that's my comment on the trees on Mars. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
And I'm just here to say there is life after N. I-N.
There is life after N.
Like in red?
Okay, let me let folks in on the joke. Here's the deal. I sent our members an email in which I said, I explained how you log in, and you have to log in to the members area, and then there's a password to activate the video so you can watch the show. And I said, after you log in, the password is in red. And so in red letters on the page after you log in, there's the password. But don't feel like the Lone Ranger here, Mike. You were not alone. There were others who sent me the same email, the same confusion. Because we had several people that thought the password to watch the video was red. I wrote back and I said, go back and read your message. I didn't say the password is red. I said it's in red. So log in and see if you see something in red. And to all the members, that password may change from time to time for security reasons. Therefore, always look at what's in red on that page, and it will tell you what the password is for the video. So that's what the deal is. Yeah, there's life after N. Oh, mercy.
I think that the way things are read may also apply to why so many of these officials deny that there is life, you know, either coming to Earth in various vehicles or on these other planets. It's for that they miss the word in or on.
Well, very well could be. Sometimes, you know, we expect the people we elect to be the smartest people in the bunch. And the fact is, if you did a IQ survey of all of Congress and all of the Senate, I'm betting they would rank, their average would be the same as the population.
Probably so.
Yeah. I think they're only above us in their own minds.
You know, I missed last night's show because of that word in, and I watched it today, and I wrote Fred Speckling a letter, email today, and I happen to have three programs that George Adamski gave live, and I have them on reel-to-reel, and I was telling him about it. Unfortunately, my reel-to-reel no longer works, and it's kind of place the big 10-inch reels, and it's getting harder and harder to find a good machine like that. So I was asking if they had committed those to CD. Do you know?
I have no idea. No idea.
Well, I have one that was in New York, one that was in Michigan, I think Detroit, and then one that was before the Queen in England.
Well, I tell you what, I yesterday got an email from Neil Gould over in Hong Kong, and in this email, he included links to 8 video clips. It's a program all having to do with George Adamski, and I've put all of those in this edition of K-Files E-Zine. And so, since you've had some exposure to George Adamski previously, that will be something you'll want to get your hands on and click those links and watch. But all 8 of them are in there.
Right. Well, not only do I have exposure to him, but when I was in high school in 62 and 63, I wrote him a couple letters, and he actually wrote back to me, and I have his autograph.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then.
So, I read his books, and I do have both of his books, you know, Flying Saucers Have Landed and Inside Spaceship. And I also have that one that Gray Barker wrote also about George Adamski after he died.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do you think? You think Adamski was ahead of his time, or was he a fraud?
You know, I've sort of shifted back and forth over the years. But I think the reason when I got rid of all of my UFO literature in the mid-80s, trying to get away from this subject, I didn't get rid of the Adamski books is because I thought maybe there was something to this down deep. And so as a result of that, I've built up everything I ever gave away.
Well, I tell you what really strikes a chord with me about George Adamski. Some of the photographs that George Adamski took and published and shared with the world did not look like the stereotypical flying saucers that people were describing back in that day.
Right.
But they sure do look like what NASA photographs and videos. And so I'm pretty much persuaded that he was seeing the real stuff.
If you look at the designs in one of his books, he shows a design of the power system inside the spaceship and how it supposedly worked. It has that design is set up like a swastika.
Yeah.
And it's apparently the fluctuation of magnetic lines of force, you know, back and forth in that engine that, around that central pole that makes that work. And notice that even Adamski, he had the central pole, and he had three conductors or generators and ball landing type gear underneath, just like Bob Lazar says that the Pleiadian ships had those three, you know, gravity wave amplifiers. Are mm-hmm. we talking about the same thing?
Could be. But, you know, an interesting thing, isn't it, that the power grid in that thing is set up in the shape of a swastika. Now, to us, on this side of World War II, a swastika means only one thing, and that is the Nazi party that basically took over Germany and tried to take over the world. Prior to the Nazi party, see, they didn't invent the swastika.
No.
Prior to the Nazi party, that was a symbol among ancient people, and I mean ancient people, it was a symbol representing power. And
yes.
Here's what I'm... In fact, right out here on South Mountain, right here in Phoenix, in these petroglyphs, there are swastikas. Okay, right. Now here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if it represents power because they saw that it was emanating power from some of these ships. Mike, hang on. I want to talk to you for a moment on the other side of the break. We'll be back, folks. Michael during that conversation or during that break, but he is back online, and that's a good thing. Okay, Mike, I was talking about the fact that the swastika appears in very, very ancient petroglyphs all over the world, and it is a symbol in very ancient religions and belief systems, a symbol of power. I'm wondering, is it possible that they, as these ships would take off and people, ancient people would see the underside of the ship, if there's something on the underside of the ship in that shape that was emanating power? And maybe that's where they got the idea that the swastika is a symbol of power.
Well, I'm wondering if possibly when it took off at night, it gave off light patterns which formed that.
Could be.
I really don't know.
Could be.
What I'd like to know is, for sure I've heard this, but I heard that the original swastikas from which they took this were reversed, that the Nazis just reversed the swastika to what they used.
That's true.
Inverted it.
That's true.
Okay.
If you take an ancient swastika and turn it from left to right, then you have the Nazi swastika.
Right.
Or from right to left. I forget which it is. But you flip it over.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely true. Mike, I want to thank you for the call, man.
Okay, man. Glad to have Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. I want to take a flash message here from the United Kingdom. Stephen in the United Kingdom writes, hi, Kevin. With all the compelling evidence that we've heard about if we went to the moon or not, is it not possible they did both? I guess if they're not going to show us the real footage, they had to show us something. Well, this is what I, Stephen, this is what I've contended, is that probably not all, but a lot of the footage that we've seen from the Apollo mission days was probably pre-recorded, probably staged. And for various reasons, maybe because they were afraid we would see all of the UFO activity around and on the moon, or maybe because they feared what would happen if here we are trying to be the first people to the moon. What if these guys crash? You know, we've got to go ahead and show that we were the first there. And then they can have we can tell people they had an accident on the way back home. So, you know, there are a lot of different scenarios. I think a lot of the pictures and a lot of the footage that we've seen is very, very questionable. But a lot of it, I think, is real. However, the real footage also shows something interesting. And that is that the gravity on the moon is not 1/6 that of Earth. You can see the astronauts don't jump very high, and it was like Glenn Steckling mentioned last night, the dirt coming off of the wheels of the moon buggy doesn't fly very high into the air. It just flies up and down, kind of slow-mo. So the gravity on the moon, apparently from those videos, is greater than 1/6 that of Earth. So make of it what you will, but I think we saw some real stuff. I think we saw some stuff that was pre-recorded. All right, we have another flash message, this one from Australia. And this one is referencing an article, actually, that came out. You remember when the airliner was leaving South America and headed for France and went down? Everybody on board was killed just a few months ago. You remember that? There was an article that came out saying that the Russians had determined that this was because of some great magnetic anomaly that had just suddenly developed there, and that they had ordered all of their flights to fly around this thing, not to fly that flight path. And so the message here says, what about this magnetic shift? How far does it extend? I don't know. That article came out, and I thought, okay, that's big news, and we talked about it here on the show. That's big news. Certainly, we'll see some follow up on this. I haven't seen a single follow up on that article. So, Jeff, I don't know. The telephone lines are open, and it is Open Line Live. We will talk about whatever is on your mind within our genre. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or you can call me toll-free at 888-223-4599. Again, the toll-free number, if you need to call me toll-free, 888-223-4599. Now, we have another flash message, this one from Carl in Australia. He says, I will no doubt see The Fourth Kind soon. From what I've heard, the movie emphasizes the shock and horror aspect of alleged abductions of everyday folks by aliens or whatever might be lurking out there in the dark. My own experiences match this in terms of terror. Maybe I was just a kid having bad dreams. They were dreams of critters coming to me late at night while I was apparently unable to move or call out. Dreams of feeling tingly all over as I elevated, not just above the bed, but out and up and over the trees. I don't remember actually seeing them, though. All I remember is terror. And after these events seemed to stop, I came to the conclusion that I was just too damn scared to be of any use. Lots of laughs. A few years later, my kid brother reported seeing what he called a cockeyed roach at the window at night, and there's been talk of screen memories, yet what he said he saw was not an owl, but something with a face that reminded him of a cockroach. This was in the 1970s. The cockeyed roach, again, I feel tingles. Before and since, I've had interesting experiences, including seeing things on primary radar that defy easy explanation. And this is Perth, so if something is going on, it's global. Thank you, Carl. Very interesting. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hi, Stefan. We can barely hear you. You need to get close to your phone.
Sorry. Hold on. I'll try to fix this.
Hello?
Now we can hear you.
Great. Thank you. Kevin, I love Open Line Live, and my comment for tonight is, with all the things going on in the world right now, I almost cannot help but think that we must be close to disclosure. It seems that every time something in the news or some sort of a disclosure event, related events, some sort of crisis happens, and I think we're at that point now that and we have Michael Sala saying that disclosure is imminent, David Wilcock, and a few others, and it just makes me feel that it's close. But I'm not sure what sort of crisis somebody will invent to try to pull it away again.
Well, it may be its own crisis. It may need no other crisis. And here's what I mean by that. There is a big, big movement around this world to form a global government. Now, they've tried to use the global warming as the issue that would mean we have to have some kind of global governance. The problem is the science didn't support the story that was being told about global warming. So they changed it to climate change. The treaty that's being hammered out and that there's every indication the U.S. will sign, that treaty forms global government. If there is any kind of chaos or uprising over learning that our national sovereignty and the national sovereignty of every other nation has been done away with in the name of climate change, and I suspect there will be chaos over that, I would expect for them to play the alien card and say, folks, we have to have this, and here's why.
Aha. That makes sense.
So
yeah, that
it may be its own crisis this time. It may be beneficial to play the card in order to get a one world government.
Boy, That's a doorway I'm not sure I want to walk through, but if it's the only door in order to get disclosure, I might be willing to go through it. I'm not sure.
Well, the thing is, there's nothing for them. What are they going to tell you? Here's what disclosure is going to be like. Yes, Johnny, there are Volkswagens.
Yeah.
Now, what they're going to do is they're going to tell you what you already knew.
Well, like Stephen Bassett said, you know, releasing the truth only clears away confusion. It doesn't create more, like you said.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that don't want to walk through this door of a one-world government. But I don't think we're going to have a choice. It's going to be done to us by the people we trusted.
Well, Kevin, great show, and let's walk forward with bravery, I guess, as much as we can.
Well, there's only one direction to walk, and that's forward. The past, you know, I can't think of the name of the movie, but there is a movie about this airliner that flies into a storm, and then it lands at an airport where there's nobody. It's all empty. And to make a long story short, everything there is sort of fake. Matches won't strike. They won't light. Nothing is real. It's all sort of fake, imaginary stuff. When they finally are able to take off, the runway is crumbling into the abyss of space right behind the plane. As the plane's running down the runway, the runway is crumbling out of existence right behind them. Well, that's the way the past is. The past is crumbling every second behind us, and we can't go back. So there's only one direction to walk, and that's forward.
So what you're saying is that disclosure probably is on the table somewhere.
I think disclosure is a card that has been dealt. It's in the hand. And I think it's a real possibility that it gets played this time.
Yeah.
And I think it will be played in order to boost support for a one-world government.
Wow. Well, Kevin, you're still the best show on the Internet. Thanks.
Thank you.
Kevin,
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. And the best one on AM, FM, shortwave, cell phones, and Internet TV. 623-444-5889. Open Line Live. We will certainly be glad to talk about whatever is on your mind within the genre. And if you need to call me on the toll-free number, it is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. You know, I kind of like just get something, you know, off my chest.
All right.
Because like you say, we're going to get this new world order and whatever else. They're going to play all the tricks. They're going to do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, you know, whether we like it or not. And I'm at the point where, you know, because like I mentioned to one of your guests, you know, it's like, you know, these people who knows this stuff, yeah, you know, they may get killed, their family might even be threatened, but my point is, you know, just like the movie Network, if you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
I'm mad as what, you know, and I ain't gonna take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at that point. Yeah, okay, so you save your life, and if your family's threatened, I could see why you might be a little more motivated. But nonetheless, even though you save your life, what about your children? You know, what's gonna happen to them because you didn't do anything? And you know, I'm not out there to judge or ridicule anybody's manhood, but personally, you know, I don't need to sit back and watch another concentration camp to be built to know that, you know, either we need to stand up and we need to do something now, today. Hopefully, the best way I believe is to have these countries or states secede from the Union, and that would prove to, you know, if they're attacked by the United States for seceding from the Union, that would bring more people in more quickly, I believe. You know, in those states that don't want to, the people who do, you know, could ask for asylum in the states that do and defend them. My point is, do you want to die standing, or do you want to die on your knees?
Terry, my view on that is pretty clear. I was born free. I live free. I'll die free. Now, that means even if I'm put in a concentration camp, you can chain me down. You can chain my body, but not my mind. I will be free till the day I die. There are things worse than death.
Yeah.
Living without freedom is worse than death, in my opinion. And I would just say to anybody that they're not really serious about their freedom, remember Netta. You know, you remember Netta? That's the young girl that was marching for freedom in Iran and was shot by one of the goons of the government.
Yeah.
And died right there on the street.
Yeah, I just, want to get the point out there to people that, it's time to seriously consider, and to learn what's going on out there, and for your kid's sake, for her humanity's sake, we can't be afraid. We can't wait for them to get any stronger.
But now let me ask you this.
You either want to stand, die on your feet, or you want to die in a concentration camp on your knees.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you really think that it can be turned around? Honestly.
Because I can't divulge anything, but there is people out there, and the people who are portraying this thing have people that are, as knowledgeable as them, know what they're up to, know how they're going to do it, how to get to them. And they've been put on notice that this is not going to be allowed to happen. And whether this is true or not, they have to turn around immediately. We're not talking a few years. Things have to change immediately.
I think they are going to change immediately. I am certainly not for one world government. I think I've made my case quite clear on this show that I am totally for freedom. And this one world government stuff is slavery. But having said that, I think things are going to change very rapidly. I think you're going to bed one night an American and wake up the next day an earthling. I think it's going to change overnight. People are not even going to realize what's happened to them. What will have happened will be the demise of the sovereignty of the United States of America and every other nation. And we will be nothing but a vassal state in a world government. Now, people that think a world government would somehow be good, well, you better start thinking about this. China can outvote everybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
China can outvote everybody else on the planet. And, so who do you think is going to run it, and how democratic do you think it will be? It's not going to be. Terry, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it very much. Interesting stuff. All right, the telephone number 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. So if you've got something on your mind, give me a call and let's talk about it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Ed from Connecticut.
Hi, Ed.
How you doing?
Good.
I was actually a guest on your show many, many years ago, but I haven't called since. I've been just a quiet listener.
Ed, what's your last name? I don't remember.
I'm not gonna share that. That's part of the reason why I don't call anymore. I don't sort of
Okay, but you were a guest.
Huh?
But yeah, you were a guest.
Yep, about over 4 years ago.
Okay, what's on your mind?
A long time ago. But yeah, no, I wanted to call in and say that I had seen the movie Fourth Kind.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about it?
Inspired me to call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put like a wet blanket over everyone's hopes that the archival footage is real, but it's not. I'm a purveyor of these kind of movies, and I think kind of the sort of mockumentary style filmmaking got really popular with if anyone remembers the Blair Witch Project,
mm-hmm.
where they kind of sold it as. And this is when the internet was a lot newer and viral marketing was newer, and they kind of sold it as, you know, kids who had disappeared in the woods and is this real footage or not, and people kind of bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered later it was, you know, a viral marketing campaign. Same thing with Paranormal Activity, and this is also the same. I actually, because I checked it out. When I heard about it, I said, well, this is pretty interesting. I'll go check it out, and sure enough, it was viral marketing. I actually set up websites myself, and I found a few websites that they sort of, for lack of a better word, created.
Uh-huh.
Sort of fake sort of news directories and stuff like that, where they would kind of post information about this psychologist, and it's just one gigantic viral marketing campaign, sorry to say.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. And so I saw these two reviews that were so, you know,
yeah.
180 degrees from each other.
Well,
so I said, okay, well, let's find out.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is an aggregate scoring website.
Mm-hmm.
And
hang on, we're into a break. I'll pick you up here right after the break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the line with me, Ed from Connecticut. Ed, you were about to tell us about a site that talks about this sort of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just cover sort of, you know, to be quick, to cover some of the basics that I found when looking into the movie, and then sort of just my opinion of the movie as a movie. I'm very familiar with how to build websites, and I'm very savvy. I'm only 24. I grew up with the internet. And I loved the Blair Witch style movies, and it kind of fooled me as a kid, the Blair Witch movie. I thought, oh man, this is really real, but you never hear about it on the news, and then you come to find out, yeah, you know, we tricked you guys, it's all actors. It's the same case for this. They created some very, very poor-looking news sites so that when you put it into Google, Dr. Abigail Tyler will come up, who's the main character of the story, kind of pops up on a few sort of local newspaper sites that they aren't actual local newspaper sites. And then when you look at to when the domain was registered, it was actually registered on the day that they launched the trailer for the movie. So it's, you know.
So now tell me this, is there actually a real person, Dr. Abigail Tyler, and was she involved in this sort of stuff?
Well, an Anchorage newspaper actually did a whole article on debunking the movie, if you will. They were more or less successful, but it's rather ambiguous if she is or not.
Mm-hmm.
My guess would be is that the guy who did the movie kind of took pieces of lore and used the real information that people are disappearing in Nome. And the reason that's happening is because when you see the movie, and this won't spoil anything, it's very scenic looking. It's sort of trees and pastoral looking almost, because they shot it in Eastern Europe. If you go to Nome, Alaska, it's just white tundra. Very boring place,
mm-hmm.
actually. And there are a high incidence of of missing people. Not murders, per se, but just missing people. And the FBI visits that have subsequently happened since they've been there, they generally feel it's a combination of there's a high Inuit population who have apparently a lot of alcohol abuse problems, and they feel personally that a great majority of the missing people there is due to the harsh weather and incredible alcohol abuse. And
yeah,
so,
well, that'll do it, because alcohol actually lowers your body temperature.
The director kind of took that and said, okay, we're going to take some lore, you know, we're going to put in some creepy archival, you know, quote, archival footage. I mean, listen, if this stuff was real, I can assure you it would be it would be getting a lot more attention somewhere. No, mm-hmm. it's totally not. Unfortunately, it's not the real deal. Having said that, to wrap things up, I did enjoy the movie. It got panned in reviews. Out of 75 reviews in Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 15%. That's pretty horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally considered a horrible movie. When I went, there was, you know...
But you enjoyed it, right?
I did. But I knew I would, because I'm a total nerd for, like, you know, X-Files, and, I mean, I'm calling into a show about paranormal activity. I would like it, but, yeah, there was maybe 7 or 8 people in the theater, but I think that's probably because of the time that I went in. But we all thought it was kind of creepy. It was a good movie, but it's not full of special effects. It's sort of, the scares come from the archival, quote, archival mockumentary footage. It's definitely on the scarier side. This isn't like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
Where it was sort of more fantastical and whimsical almost, whereas this movie is just kind of out to scare you. And it does do that, so I think you'll like it. I think people who listen to the show will like it, but I have to say none of it is real, unfortunately. I was kind of hoping it would be. It'd be fascinating to look into, but... It's not. Once I discovered those sites, I was like, it's over.
Well, I appreciate you calling and giving us some insight into this. And if people know this when they see it, there's less likelihood to be disappointed and to enjoy it for what it is. Ed, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Carl from Australia has sent me a flash message telling me the name of the movie that I was talking about earlier, where the runway disappears. It's called The Langoliers. That's correct. That is what it's called. And it's an L-1011 Lockheed TriStar. That is correct. I have flown on those. He says maybe it's a Stephen King story. I think it was. Andrew in Australia says, yep, the Copenhagen Treaty gets signed in December. I sent you a copy the other day with Lord Monckton's presentation. Looks like New World Order, here we come. Okie dokie. So all of you folks that think that all this New World Order and One World Government is all just a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists and all that. No use now to pack your bags. There's not going to be any place to go. Okay. Mustafa in Sweden says, hi, Kevin. If I want to build my own spaceship, is it illegal to leave this planet and live on another planet? Thanks. You know, I don't know. Good question. I've never in 9 years been asked that question. Never even thought about whether it would be legal. If you had your own spaceship, could you just leave and go to another planet and decide to live there? And if you survive, you survive. If you don't, you don't. I don't know whether that's legal or not. I know here in the United States, private spaceships have to get clearance from the federal government for a launch. They have to get clearance and get a permit to launch. But I don't know if you leave here, let's say you left here and went to Mars, and you landed in near that pine forest, where obviously there has to be some oxygen. Obviously it has to be a bit more habitable than what we've been told. And you land near the pine forest and decide to move in there and build you a log cabin and just live. Would it be legal? I don't know. I don't know. And of course, another question is, if pine trees can live there, and you look at the picture and decide for yourself, it looks like pine trees to me. If pine trees can live there, what else can live in amongst the pine trees? What kind of other animal life is there? And are there intelligent beings there that might take exception to you cutting down some of the pine trees and building yourself a log cabin? See, that gets into all that exopolitics stuff. And, you know, it very well could be illegal. I don't know. I really don't know. Mustafa, great question. Never been asked that before. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard about this. It's been the subject of many a talk show, that many of the microbiologists on this good earth started disappearing via death. Remember that? There's a list of about 40 of them now that have met with death in very, very suspicious circumstances. This is not new news. You may remember hearing just a few weeks ago that there were six people that worked in a laboratory at Harvard University that all came down with severe medical situations at the same time. And that was kind of curious. Now there are reports that scientists and doctors are saying it's not an accident. All six of these are microbiologists. They work in the same laboratory. They all drank coffee from a machine that, you know, you get a single serving of coffee out of it. They think that's how they were poisoned, and it was poison. It was, I forget the name of the chemical, but it's supposedly highly toxic. This same chemical was used in causing the deaths of some microbiologists in Japan, I think, last year. And so there's an article out about this now where there are quotes from scientists saying, this is not accidental. This is a poison that was administered to them, and apparently in an attempt to kill them. What's up with the microbiologist? What is it that they are working on that they're very close to, or maybe already have, but or might be close to discovering something others want kept secret? I mean, it could be anything, couldn't it? It could be absolutely anything, but apparently they are getting close, we're getting close to, or maybe already found out, something that secret keepers want kept secret. And it's in the realm of microbiology. What could it be? What do you think it is? It failed in this time. It failed. This attempt failed. It didn't kill them. They got medical attention very quickly and survived. I don't know what kind of damage it may do to their systems, to their bodily systems. I don't know what this poison does. I don't know what it could do to them. But obviously, someone did not want them either to discover what they were about to discover, or did not want them to write about what they've already discovered. What do you think it could be? 623-444-5889 is our main number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. What do you think is up with being a microbiologist and having six people attacked at once? Six microbiologists at Harvard. Like I said, it didn't work. So whatever it is they were about to discover, the idiots that did this just put a great big yellow highlighter pen over all that these scientists were working on. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Stefan again. Sorry to come back to you like this, but I'll take the answer off the air. What's your opinion of Joseph Mosch? Is it true that he had Mossad connections? And
I'm not familiar. Joseph who?
Joseph Mosch, the fellow that in August made a call to a Los Angeles talk show saying that he had inside information that a Ukraine lab was setting up to set up a bioweapon.
Okay. All right. Just don't go away. Stay on the line. A break's taking over. I want to talk to you when we come back. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left. Stefan, you still with me?
Sure am, Kevin.
All right. Stefan, I remember the story. I did not remember the name. But go ahead and give us a thumbnail of what he called into a radio show.
Well, it happened on August 13th, 2009. Joseph Mosch was a man in his mid-50s who phoned a Los Angeles talk radio show, but I'm not sure if it actually went live, saying that he had inside information as a microbiologist that a bioweapon was being prepared in the Ukraine, in a laboratory, for release within the next few months, and that was back in August. And after he had made that call, apparently he felt that he was being followed, so he rushed over to the Israeli consulate, but he never made it. Instead, he was swarmed by police vehicle, SWAT vehicle, and get this, they pepper sprayed him. They sent four cans of pepper spray into his car, and he remained calm throughout the whole ordeal, staying there for almost another 45 minutes with all that pepper spray. And they also apparently blasted his car with an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, to disable any electronic circuitry. And then they brought a robot to dismantle the car window, and they tasered him and brought him out, and then they sent him off to Israel, apparently, and we've never heard from him again.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Today, in the news, is a story about people in the Ukraine going frantic because small airplanes were flying over the city, and I forget which city. It starts with an M. But flying over the city, spraying something. Merchants and shop owners were told to stay inside today, and the people were going frantic about it. They were calling the newspapers, they were calling the radio stations, wanting to know what is this, what's going on. The Ukrainian government is denying that there were any planes spraying anything over the city, and yet hundreds of people saw it. So I don't know. Maybe it was a test run for what this man was talking about. I don't know. Believe me, folks. Believe me. There are kooky stories out there that you think are just kooky conspiracy theorists that are not kooky at all. They are real. Right out of the horror movie genre. They're real. And I mean, there, you look, there are some stories and theories that are just nuts. But there's a lot of this stuff that is right on target. It is spot on. You do not live in the world you think you live in. You do not live in the country you think you live in. And apparently, you do not live on the planet you think you live on. Things are, in reality, very different from what we have been led to believe. It's like I mentioned Chris Angel, like watching a magician, an illusionist. He convinces you that you're seeing something that you really are not seeing. He convinces you that you're observing something happen that isn't really happening. And there are some real magicians on the world stage that have convinced you that life is a certain way when it isn't. They have convinced you that your country is a certain way when it isn't. They have convinced you the world is a certain way and it isn't. And if you buy the illusion, are you forever going to be in for a very negative surprise? Don't want to ruin your evening, but I mean, you know, the facts are the facts, and people are buying into the illusion. The illusion is not real. Something else is going on, not what you think you see. Now, that's all I'll say about that, because it is weekend eve, and I don't wish to ruin your weekend, but I think for most of the folks in the Kevin Smith Show audience, I didn't say anything you didn't know already. For most of the folks in this audience, your eyes are already wide open. You already know. You've been staring into the can of worms for a long time, and you know it's a can of worms. And it doesn't matter if they tell you it's evaporated milk, you see it for what it is. It's worms. And so I don't think I've ruined anybody's evening. I certainly hope not. You know, Open Line Live is one of my favorite kinds of shows, because we, as you have experienced here tonight, we hear from all over the place. And we get so many different topics, and we get so many different views. And isn't freedom of speech fun? It truly is. It doesn't happen too often around the world. It doesn't happen too often even on most talk radio shows. But it does happen here. And I love it. Some of the things that people say don't match my views. And as you see, I don't tell you that you're wrong. I may tell you what I think, but I don't tell you that you're wrong. And that's because, ladies and gentlemen, I learned early in life a very important lesson. Here it is. Different doesn't mean wrong. There are many, many different ways to look at the same thing. And they can all be legitimately correct. There are many, many different ways to look at the same event, to look and to perceive the same actions, statements, and events that are swirling about us. There is no virtue in getting everyone to see it the same way. There really isn't. As long as we have freedom of thought, as long as we have freedom of speech, let's use it. As long as we have it, let's use it. So that's one of the reasons I really like Open Line Live. I like it because it is an exercise in freedom. It's an exercise. It's a place and a time and a way for you to exercise your freedom of thought, your freedom of speech, and to say it like you want to say it. And as you saw here this evening. Almost every open line show that we do, which is I try to do one every week, but almost every show that we do that is open line, I hear something I had not heard before. Someone presents a thought that I had not thought of before, asks a question that has never been asked me before. Boy, I think that one from Mustafa in Sweden was great. I think about that. If you could leave here and go to another planet, would that be illegal? I don't know. And whose law would it be? I guess the only way, right now, it would have to be each individual country's laws, I guess. But see, that's something I hadn't thought of before. It's something I hadn't even considered. Open Line Live is really open mind live, isn't it? It really is. That's what it's about. It's about having our minds open and hearing what other people say, hearing how other people think, hearing their perceptions of things, and then sort of comparing that with everything else we've heard and that we know, and kind of making up our own minds about it. I've enjoyed it, and I certainly hope you have enjoyed it. And I want to thank every one of you who called in. I want to thank every one of you who sent a flash message, because you are what this is all about. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.